Are you looking for the raw truth about the U.S. healthcare system? Medical practice manager, owner, entrepreneur, and author James Egidio, with 23 plus years in the medical field, educates and informs his listeners about the changes, trends, and truth about the United States healthcare system. James interviews medical experts in various fields of the healthcare industry. Doctors, nurses, medical specialists, scientists, and professors that discuss the state of the U.S. healthcare system today, tomorrow, and in the future.
Hi, I'm James Egidio, your host of the Medical Truth Podcast, the podcast that tells the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth about the American healthcare system. Just a disclaimer, this podcast and its associated content, websites, articles provide general information and discussions about health and related subjects. The information and other content provided in this podcast or blog, website, or any other linked material are not intended and should not be considered or used as a substitute for medical advice, diagnosis, or treatment. Please consult with your personal physician. Medications made from plants have been used throughout human history. Today, over 100 pharmaceutical drugs and medicines trace their roots to chemical compounds in plants. My guest is an author, educator, and aromatherapist and herbalist, where she received her herbalist and aromatherapist distinctions from Heart of Herbs in order to complete the rigorous requirements to become a level 2 NAHA certified professional aromatherapist with the National Association for Holistic Aromatherapy. She also holds a master's degree as well as a PhD in nutrition and has written several books. Her latest is Aromatherapy and Essential Oils for Healing, 120 Remedies to Restore Mind, Body, and Spirit, where it currently has 4.7 of 5 with 247 reviews on Amazon, as well as a book called Forgotten Backyard Remedies. It can be found online at thebitterherbalist.com and backyard-remedies. It is my pleasure to have on the Medical Truth Podcast my guest, Dr. Amber Robinson. Hi, Dr. Robinson. How are you today?
Hello. I am wonderful. Thanks for having me.
Absolutely. Please share with the audience of the Medical Truth Podcast a little bit about yourself and what you do, what you have going when it comes to aromatherapy and herbs.
Okay. Born and raised here in the Missouri Ozarks, and that has fostered a love for nature and all things natural and a love for plants. And as I grew up, I realized that I wanted to follow that calling. I actually was a high school English teacher for 10 years before I finally retired and decided to become an herbalist full time and studied and went to school for that. I love where I live here on an 80-acre farm. We have lots of native medicinal plants. And as even from the time I was a little girl, I remember my grandparents showing me plants and how to use them. And they were edible and medicinal, different plants. And I just thought that was really interesting. And I've always loved science. So I ended up years ago, my husband got me a still for Christmas, like you think a moonshine still. And it was glass. And I learned how to distill my own essential oils in that. And I'd always loved essential oils before that. But just, I was able to, living here off-grid on this homestead has allowed me to grow and wildcraft or forage for plants that I can use to create both essential oils and herbal medicine.
Nice. What inspired you to get involved with herbs and aromatherapy and herbal treatments and herbal medicines, I should say?
I guess it would start with my grandmother. She's still alive. Her name is Doris, and she is 84 and as healthy as can be. And just growing up, she would take us to gather watercress in her spring, and she would tell us about herbal treatments that her grandparents used. Growing up in extreme poverty, one of 9 children, they had to learn those things just to survive. And so it started there, but and that stuff never leaves you. Even though I went to college for journalism and got my bachelor's in that, I had my first child when I was 24. And having kids made me reevaluate everything again. And I think I really wanted what's best for them. it wasn't anymore about just about me. It was about them and what I could do for them and how I could be the best mom that I could be and give them the best care. That really rekindled things. And that was probably 14 years ago.
Yeah. Share with the audience of the Medical Truth podcast a little bit about like pharmaceutical medications that are made from plants. Because I don't think a lot of people, when they hear pharmaceuticals and they hear herbal supplements, and they sometimes they don't put them together some. Yeah, and yet absolutely. There are medications. Yeah.
Yeah. And it's a common misconception. And I like to tell people, I'm not that far. We are not that far apart. The allopathic medicine and herbal medicine. We're not as far apart as people would like you to believe. And there are a long list of herbs that are still used today to create pharmaceuticals. For instance, one that I think is really interesting because it's really relevant for right now is shikimic acid. And shikimic acid comes from three different plants that we know of that researchers have found. And it's in unripe sweet gum balls. Have you seen the gum trees with the spiny balls on them?
Sure.
They have star-shaped leaves. Right. Those unripe green seed pods have shikimic acid, as do some pine needles and star anise. Star anise was originally used to extract the shikimic acid to make what we know as Tamiflu. And they decided that wasn't a very sustainable plant because star anise is not very sustainable to use that way. So they found that it was also in sweet gum and pine, so they could continue extracting that shikimic acid. And there are others like willow bark contains salicin. Salicin is used to create aspirin.
Right.
We also have poppies, the opium poppy. Opioids are still used today. Those are just three off the top of my head. We also have the foxglove plant, and that's not one that we even use in the herbal world because it's toxic. But in lab, they can actually extract certain glycosides from that plant to create medicine for congestive heart failure, and they do that.
Right. For the medication, I believe it's digitalis.
Yes, and that's the Latin name of that.
Is that right? Latin name. And then you're also pulled up when I pulled up this sheet here and we're looking at, you mentioned poppy, that's on this list. Then the Jesuit priest discovered an alkaloid from the cinchona calicea tree, which could be used to treat malaria leg cramps. Today we call it quinine. And like you said, Tamiflu, that's on this list as well. And then the aspirin, like you'd mentioned. And then the U was discovered to contain a substance that slows down cell division in the body, which is the drug called Taxol, which is used to treat cancer patients in chemotherapy, which, of course, I'm sure the pharmaceutical companies turn around and charge thousands and thousands of dollars to access this stuff. Yeah. Insane. And of course, everybody knows about penicillin being to fight bacterial in it, which was a mold.
Yes.
So my question is, what is aromatherapy and what is the difference between aromatherapy and being an herbalist? Because you mentioned you're also, and I mentioned at the opening of this episode that you're an aromatherapist, but what is the difference between aromatherapy and herbalist?
That's a really good question. And it can be summarized in that herbs are a whole plant, usually the whole plant or portions of that plant are used to create herbal medicine. However, aromatherapy takes those plants, those same herbs that we might use medicinally, and condenses them to create a very strong volatile oil that's the end result of the distillation process. So essential oils are going to be much stronger, but they're also plant isolates. They do not contain all of the compounds that would be in herbal medicine, but they contain isolated compounds that were in those plants. So there are pros and cons to each. And actually, I don't know many people who are herbalists and aromatherapists because those two worlds tend to collide over philosophical beliefs. And you shouldn't use plant isolates and you should use whole plant medicine. But I tend to integrate both of them.
So I guess my question is too, that follow-up question is, so they collide. Why do they collide? Because I know, I guess when I equate aromatherapy, I equate it to having a little device that you pour a few drops of oil in and it diffuses the oil into the air, which is wonderful. And then, of course, herbs, because I was in the nutritional supplement industry myself over 30 years ago. And taking herbs, and I remember being in the industry and hearing about when they isolate certain concentrates out of the herbs, they're adulterating the herbs by taking the active ingredient out of them. And there were certain companies that sold herbal supplements that you take orally that mm-hmm. where they had not done that and taken out the active ingredient. And why would they collide? I guess that's my question. Why would those?
They collide because essential oils are considered by many to be a very strong, very condensed form of plant medicine. And your herbal extracts that like the kinds that I make, I usually make tinctures, which are a very simple made. You fill a jar with the plant material. You cover that in at least 80 proof alcohol that helps to extract the plant, the compounds from the plants. And then you leave it for 6 weeks, strain it out. And that takes all the compounds that were in that plant, that the whole, like I just harvest the whole thing and I take all the compounds from it. They're going to be in that extract. And some of them might be less water soluble than others, but with essential oils, they're going through a chemical process of distillation, and you're the end product is this oil. You could start out with so many pounds of plant material, and you end up with this much essential oil.
Right.
So we're talking a difference of strength of different isolates. And a lot of people in my that like the things that I do will use both, but as a general rule, if the herbal extract doesn't work, then we'll try something different, possibly aromatherapy. And all aromatherapy is something that's exploded over the years. And one of the things that we're starting to see more in the aromatherapy field as aromatherapists is incidents, people using them incorrectly. You have a lot higher chance of having an adverse reaction to an essential oil than an herbal extract, because essential oils are just downright strong.
Yeah.
And people use them incorrectly.
Yeah. When you say incorrectly, how are they using them incorrectly? Because I only know of using essential oils other than the way I used to use, let's say, eucalyptus in a steam room on a towel mm-hmm. or whatever to breathe it in. But how are people misusing the oils? Are they consuming them internally? Is that what it is?
There are two major ways that you can misuse them. The first is internal use. Some people say no, because I have been told to do that and blah, blah, blah. At the end of the day, it's your body, whatever, but it's putting a load on your liver and kidneys that probably doesn't need to be there. Plus, people have reported burning their esophagus, having esophagus damage because they're adding oils to water, and oil and water don't mix, right? So it floats on top and they just get this major contact with the essential oil in their throat and stomach.
Oh, okay.
And sometimes that can cause major issues. Not to mention they're taking something that's really condensed and strong and ingesting it when it's not really the whole term aromatherapy is to suggest that we inhale that for healing, because
right.
it's such a strong isolate and plant compound that to put it in a diffuser, like you were discussing, mm-hmm. even to put it in just a little, like on a cotton ball and inhale that is just as therapeutic, and you can get the same really positive results.
Yeah.
But the other thing that we're seeing is people not diluting them first. They
gotcha.
Are taking them, what we call, and applying them to the skin, and they're having major rashes or skin peeling, or sometimes some essential oils you shouldn't put on before you go out in the sun.
Right.
They're photosensitive. And so then people put on mostly citrus oils, and then they'll go out in the sun and have a horrible burn because of that. So we always caution people to dilute their essential oils in a carrier oil like olive oil or something like that first.
Yeah. Yeah. It's interesting you say that too, because I have experience with, and I'm a firm believer in all the holistic and naturopathic remedies. I don't take any, I'll be 60 in July, and I don't take any medications, pharmaceutical medications. But it's interesting you say, getting back to the essential oils and using a lot of herb and to make the oil. I go to a couple places that when I live back in Vegas to buy essential oils, like I said, for the steam room. Man, it's like sticker shock. Some of those oils are so expensive.
Yeah.
But I could see why they're expensive because I guess it's the process, right?
It's the process. I sit here and make my own essential oils at home, and I'm excited. Now, different plants contain more oil than other plants. It does take a lot to get just a little bit of oil. But at the same time, there are a lot of essential oil companies that are overpricing really bad. So,
yeah. I know basil oil is very beneficial too, right?
Yeah, I've made that before. It does take quite a bit of basil to make that, but it's antimicrobial. And I don't know if you've worked with hydrosols before, but that's a byproduct of the distillation process. So after the process is over and I have this beaker, it's not just oil that's in the beaker. It's hydrosol, and then the oil floats to the top of the hydrosol, and then I have to take something to suction the oils off. And hydrosol is really beneficial too. It's just basically essential oil water, but it's a lot safer. It doesn't have as many issues with causing adverse reactions.
Yeah. What are some of the oils? I guess now that I didn't really have that question in store for you, but what are some of the oils that you use, and what are some of the ailments that are they used for? Because you mentioned antimicrobial with basil oil, so lavender, go ahead.
Yeah, absolutely. So lavender, like you just said, and basil, those antimicrobial oils are really handy for, one of the things I use when I distill lavender, I take that hydrosol that I was telling you about after I've siphoned the oil off of it, and I use that to sanitize my yoga mat. And it just refreshes and sanitizes. Mm-hmm. Use it as a natural deodorant spray. I blend it with other things to create things like that. Some other oils that I use a lot, because I have two boys, age 10 and 12, right, they get bumps and bruises a lot. And I can use oils like helichrysum to rub on the bruise. Those kind of things are really helpful.
Yeah, yeah. I know lavender is used for sleep too. You spray it on a pillowcase and you can.
Yeah, we do a diffuser in both my boys' rooms. So if they're having a hard time, they'll do a little bit of lavender and a little bit of chamomile in their diffuser at night if they just seem to be struggling to sleep, and it really seems to help them. And another thing that we use is peppermint and ginger, because when you have kids, you get tummy aches. Those things are really handy for nausea and upset stomach.
So to the listeners and viewers of the Medical Truth Podcast, how and where can they access high quality herbal supplements and aromatherapy products? And what should they know before doing so?
That's also a really good question. And I get asked this a lot. I don't work for any companies. I make my own oils. So the information you'll get from me is pretty straightforward and pretty direct. I do not buy from multi-level marketing companies, because they're overpriced. I'm going to say that.
One of the
essential oil companies that I use the most, if I'm going to buy oil, is Plant Therapy. They're very reasonable priced and they have a good track record.
And that's,
you need to.
Yeah. What's their website? Is it planttherapy.com?
Yeah. Yep. Yeah, and they've worked with Dr. Robert Tesserand here and there, and I think he even has his own line through them, maybe not, but he has worked with them in the past, and he's a big essential oil expert. So I really like Plant Therapy. I've been using them for a while, and like I said, their prices are really good, and they have good quality products.
Nice.
Then as far as herbal supplements, one of my favorite places to order from, if I'm not growing it myself, I order seeds from Baker's Creek. That's here in Missouri. It's in Mansfield, Missouri. And they do awesome organic non-GMO medicinal herb and vegetable seeds. But nice. If I'm purchasing supplement or herbs, I usually go through Mountain Rose Herbs.
I've heard of
them.
And
they're very reputable, and they really have a focus on quality. So I've never received anything from them that I was disappointed with.
Good. All right. And what advice do you have when it comes to aromatherapy and herbal supplements to the listeners and viewers of the Medical Truth Podcast?
Don't be afraid to, especially with herbal supplements, don't be afraid to try them, because you might just be shocked at how well they work. And do your research. Make sure that if you're purchasing from a company, make sure it's a credible company that takes care of their products and is involved in the process from the growing of that plant to the harvesting and the processing.
Yeah. And I think for the people that are listening too, that may be on medications, pharmaceuticals, probably confer with their doctor too before they get started on a regimen of any one particular type of herb or something like that.
Diffusing. Yes, and I would also add that, like you said, when it comes to aromatherapy, something else that's worth mentioning is the safest way to enjoy aromatherapy is just holding it in a personal inhaler and giving that a smell every now and then.
Yeah.
That's not going to cause any contact with your skin and you're not going to be ingesting it.
I did that, like I said, with the eucalyptus oil in a steam room and peppermint too. I used to use on my tongue a little bit of peppermint, a drop of peppermint
oil. And also make sure that you do your research before you give kids essential oils. There are certain oils that contain certain compounds that should not be used around children. And a lot of people aren't aware of that. There's rosemary, peppermint, eucalyptus. They contain a compound called 1,8-phenol. That can actually cause the opposite of your intended effect, because most people are going to use those essential oils for respiratory issues, like eucalyptus and the peppermint, because of that menthol. And for children, that could actually backfire. So for children, I think 10 and under, as a general rule, just use something else. And pets, that's my cat has jumped up on my table like 10 times while I was talking to you, but cats should not be around essential oils. So when I'm diffusing upstairs, I put my cat downstairs.
Yeah. It shouldn't be used around pets unless they're jumping on your table.
I know. I don't know if you saw, but I was like, oh, get out of here.
That's funny. My guest, Dr. Amber Robinson, her website is thebitterherb.com, also www.backyard-remedies.com. And she wrote a book called Forgotten Backyard Remedies. That's one of the books I mentioned I really liked because it illustrates a lot of pictures and whatnot and what to do with the herbs. And it's really cool. But both books are awesome. Like I said, your most recent book is Aromatherapy and Essential Oils for Healing, correct?
Yes.
And that's 120 remedies. Go ahead.
Was supposed to come out, but it is postponed right now. So I will keep you up to date. It was on medicinal plants as well through the same publisher that did the essential oil books.
Yeah. And we'll put that on the website as well, that link to your books. And thank you so much for coming on to the Medical Truth Podcast. I really appreciate it. It's awesome. Thank you so much for your time.
Thank you for having me.
All right. Thanks.
Thank you for listening to the Medical Truth Podcast. Make sure you subscribe to the podcast at www.medicaltruthpodcast.com so you don't miss any future episodes. And share with family and friends to keep them informed as well. Until next time.